Suns Day. Brought to you by Four Peaks Wow Wheat on the home of Phoenix Suns basketball. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Suns Day with Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Catch it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Briggs the boom and catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for whatever.
Yeah, the Suns in Utah tonight. 8 o'clock tip as they look for consecutive win in a row, number 8, trying to run their record to 38-9. And joining us now is the TV voice of your Phoenix Suns on Bally Sports, Kevin Ray for Game Day with K-Ray. Kevin, what's going on today, man?
How we doing, fellas?
Doing good.
Doing great, gang.
This team, we're seeing different versions of this team because now we're going to see them tonight, it sounds like, without DA, without Jay Crowder, without Campaign, and without JaVale McGee because of left knee soreness. For the longest time, Kay, we've been talking about how, you know, you're showing off the depth, you're developing the depth, and these guys can't play, and that's certainly still true. But at a certain point, you'd like to just see what the actual Suns look like, wouldn't you?
Yes. I think we would all vote a resounding yes on that, Luke. Having said that, look, you can go across the league, and I know Monty made the reference after the game the other night that, you know, in all the years that he's been involved in the league, dating back to, you know, him as a player, he's never seen anything quite like this. You know, I think the Jazz would probably be in front of the line of the Suns for, you know, seeing what their team would look like. But it once again, and we sound like a broken record when we chat, guys, but it speaks to not just the depth, but the quality depth that, that James Jones has, you know, has stockpiled this team with. And, you know, kind of fitting that that James and the Suns announced his contract extension yesterday, because, man, all that work and all those pieces have been extremely valuable to date.
When you talk about James Jones and the job that he has done, what is the most impressive thing that he's done as general manager?
Boy, it's a good question, Wolf.
Because there's a lot of good stuff out there.
I mean, there really is. There is a lot of good stuff. I think that at least from my perspective, what I've been able to glean from James' time as a general manager is, and I guess this speaks to because he became a GM maybe so recently from his playing career ending, but he has not lost touch with the feel of the game, you know, and by that
player.
I mean, yeah, well, yeah. And you know, the gut instinct of, you know, we talk and we laugh about analytics, but look, it's, you know, my view of analytics is real, and I understand that there is a place for analytics in all of sports, but when you put all of your eggs or 90% of your eggs in the analytics basket, you're losing what I think is ultimately the most important part of the game, which is the feel. And it speaks to the guys that he's gone out and acquired. And it's where he and Monty, you know, really are symbiotic in the type of player that they want. And it doesn't necessarily reflect in, you know, people can look at stats. Like I say, if you looked at a Bismack Biyombo and you got the perspective of 10 Suns fans before that deal was made, they'd go, well, why do we want Bismack Biyombo? Well, we've seen exactly why we want Bismack Biyombo. So James has been able to see past all the analytic cloud that I feel like so many other general managers, and to some degree, coaches get caught up in today's game.
Talking to Kevin Ray. All right, K-Ray, you just brought up Bismack. They are 9-0 in games that he has played in. He's averaging just about 16-11 over his last four games where he's really played 25 or more minutes. this, you know, when we first started talking about him, it was a cool story. You're able to bring in a guy and he can contribute when you need him to. Now, and I know there's a lot of guys out of the lineup, but he looks like just a regular contributor that should have already been on a team. What? How did they pull this off again?
Well, you know, it was kind of a two-part deal. And, you know, no different than when you're looking to make a trade. It takes two to, you know, to do that tango, to do that dance. And the bottom line is, you know, Bismack, you know, because he – it really just speaks to the quality human that he is. And you know, here's a guy that has made a fair amount of money in his brief career. But, you know, for him, it was all about family first. And with the passing of his father in August, he wanted to take time and, you know, and kind of process all of that and be with his family and make sure that his family was going to be okay. And then he went from that to, okay, I want to get back to playing this season. And these are the places that I can see myself really fitting in nicely. And, you know, as I think we said the other day, you know, playing with and for a purpose. And you're looking at a Suns team that was two games away from capturing an NBA championship. You know, he came close himself as a player with the Raptors, and knowing that, you know, he's coming to a hungry team and coming to a team led by one of the best point guards of all time. So it just made sense. The timing worked out. And while he got other phone calls, for him, it was about, this is where I feel I can be the best version of myself.
Okay, what do you think of Devin Booker in regard to this season, the season that he's having? Can you encapsulate it for us? It just seems like to me he's taking more shots as of late. He's missed a lot of shots as well, getting better on the defensive side of the ball. But I want to get your take on Devin Booker.
Yeah, you know, Book, as we know, kind of started out a little slow at the start of the season, like really the rest of the team as well. And I was not surprised by that at all, just based on his schedule that he had after the finals. And, you know, putting all of that on top of last year's incredible run. Then we saw him begin to trend upwards and, you know, dealing with, you know, the COVID issues like everybody else had to. But we've seen a guy, you know, catch fire. And then in the last probably week, well, really, because it was just over a week ago that he was named Western Conference Player of the Week, you know, he's hit a little bit of a wall. He hit a little bit of a funk. And, you know, I think we've probably seen Devin really probably the first time, I would say ever, and certainly for the first time since this group has been put together, really intent on shooting his way out of it. Seeing him take, as you noted, you know, more shot attempts the other night, you know, was a season high. And, you know, look, players will say that's the way that, you know, that I've got to get my rhythm back. You know, I for one would like to see Book, and, you know, he was 7 of 14 at one point in the game the other night, mm-hmm. So shooting 50%. And then it looked like things started to get a little bit heavy. So I'd like to see him maybe taper back and find that balance a little bit. But it's, you know, I'm certainly not going to overreact to it. Now, if we're talking, you know, another 7 or 8 games and he's attempting between 30 and 35 shot attempts, then you're talking about a real imbalance. But I think he, like many players, like we're seeing Stephon Curry with the Warriors, trying to navigate some choppy waters, yeah. And sometimes players take different approaches to it in different seasons.
This is where we are right now. We are nitpicking how the Suns are winning games. This is a much better place.
Right.
So boring in a beautiful way. It's
beautifully
boring. In a beautiful way. Exactly, my friend.
Kevin Ray, great stuff as always, man. We always enjoy talking to you. Thank you.
Likewise, fellas. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
Thank you, King.
That's Kevin Ray.